It is a delight to invite my friend and peer, Sam McCracken, to come and open the Word. Sam has helped with our TFB program, and he replaced Patrick as a guide and a partner in the woods, and hopefully in one who is to help disciple and work with the young people on the TFB. And he's a church planting pastor, if you don't know him, in Casper, Wyoming. He's been there for about 3 years, and today, in the morning and the evening, he's going to come preach on the subject of zeal. So I urge you to receive the ministry of Sam McCracken this morning and evening, looking for Christ to speak to you through his minister. Sam, thank you.
Please turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And as you're turning there, let me just thank you as a congregation for the privilege of coming alongside you and serving in the TFB program. It's been a real blessing, and I've really enjoyed it, and so I'm thankful for that opportunity. And I'm also thankful for this opportunity to open God's Word with you this morning. So Romans chapter 12, and we're going to be looking this morning and this evening at chapter 12, verse 11. Just one verse. This is really kind of a two-part mini-series, as Pastor Sapp just mentioned, on the Christian topic, the biblical topic of Christian zeal. And so we want to look at it really in two parts, and we're going to use Romans 12, verse 11 as really a launching point. We'll be looking at that verse, but also the topic of zeal as it's put forward in Scripture. So Romans chapter 12, verse 11 is our focus, but I'm going to go ahead and read the entire chapter 12 of Romans. And just one note, there is an outline in your bulletin, as well as I think the TFB students have this in their program. In the bulletin, there's a slight correction, the last point in the conclusion. Strike the word not. That word should not be in there. And I think you'll see why. But that outline is there for you to follow if that's helpful. Let's give our attention now to the Word of God. Please hear God's eternal, infallible Word. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches, in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Then just go back up to verse 11 again and hear that verse, which is our focus this morning once again. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. That's where we'll end our reading of God's word this morning. Let's stop and ask for God's blessing together. Father in heaven, what a joy and a privilege it is to have the opportunity to worship you, the living, true God of the universe, the Creator and our Redeemer. And Lord, we desire to come before your word this morning and be enabled to hear it and to humble ourselves before you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts and our ears, that you would enable our eyes to see your truth. Please correct us and rebuke us and teach us where it is needed. Holy Spirit, please work in our hearts and our minds and bring your word to us with power and with clarity and understanding. And use this all for our good and your glory. We ask it in faith and in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you a zealous person? What are you zealous for? And what fuels your zeal? Here in Romans 12, we are confronted with a call to zeal. Now, that might not be a word that you often use or you often think about. But the Word of God calls you to have zeal. In fact, God's Word shows us that zeal should be a vital component of who you are as a new creation in Christ, as a Christian, as a member of the body of Christ. And the Bible gives this call to zeal to all Christians, to you and me. This is not some optional personality trait for extroverts or type A personalities. Zeal is not for some elite club of missionaries or visionaries in the church. It's not just for countercultural, radical Christians who really love God. Zeal is not just for the young or the energetic. It's not just for persecuted Christians or Christians in third world countries. No, the Bible teaches that zeal is to be an ordinary, steady attitude and mindset and way of life for all of God's people, old and young, energetic and calm, outspoken and quiet, new Christians and old Christians, mature Christians alike, all of us. Each one of you is called to seek to live with zeal. And so I want us to spend today, this morning and this evening, on this topic of zeal. What is it? What is real biblical zeal? What is it not? Why is it important? Why is it often missing? How do we get zeal? How do we grow in it? I also have our TFB students in mind with this topic this morning. As your program is coming to a close, I think it can be easy in a situation like this to kind of have a mountaintop experience spiritually, to experience zeal in a time like this for the Lord and for His church and for the truth. But you're all about to go home, and life is going to return to normal. You're going to get back to the real world. And the alarm is going to ring on Monday morning. You're going to have classes. You're going to go back to work. And it can be easy for your zeal that you might have this week to cool and wane. I think it's also important because knowing good theology knowing some of the right answers. We've spent some good time on this. That does not necessarily make you a zealous servant and a faithful, God-glorifying servant of Christ. That does not necessarily equal biblical zeal. And so I want us to consider this topic together. According to Webster's thesaurus, some synonyms for the word zeal in our English language are the following: passion, ardor, enthusiasm, fervor, intensity, vehemence, urgency, and earnestness. That's what God calls you to in the Christian life and in your service to Him. And what we're going to see, I think, is that it's really a call to be like Him and like His Son, to pursue His glory, to pursue Him with passion, with intensity, with feeling, with joy, with focus, with drive, with zeal. And we need to hear this call this morning, not only because it's biblical, but also because the fact is there's a lot of misplaced zeal out there today, as well as a lack of zeal in the church and among Christians. And so I want you to really open yourselves up today to hear from God on this topic and be willing to be challenged and perhaps corrected. Be willing to change and grow as you sit under the Word of God, to be encouraged and really and ultimately to know God and His gospel better, and why He and what He's done for us is what ultimately drives our zeal, our service to Him. And so the challenge today, the call from God's Word, is really just the words of the text itself. Romans 12:11, people of God, you are called to do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. That is the call from God's Word today. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Well, look again with me at Romans 12:11. You see that Romans 12:11 starts off with really a negative, a warning, a call away from a lack of zeal. And so I want us to consider first three warnings when it comes to this topic of zeal. Three do nots. God, through Paul, tells the church, tells the Christians at Rome, and warns each one of us, first of all, to do not be slothful in zeal. Do not be slothful in zeal. Look again with me at verse 11 in Romans chapter 12. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Paul literally writes, in zeal, do not be lagging. Do not be lacking in zeal. Do not be slothful. In your zeal, do not be hesitant, lazy, holding back. And if zeal positively, it means earnestness and diligence, fervor, then being slothful in it means living without it, living with a lack of diligence, with a lack of fervor in your service to the Lord. Paul says here, don't let that happen. Have a proper zeal. Maintain a proper zeal. Now, I think the thrust of verse 11 here is positive. It's a call to zealous, fervent service to the Lord. But the opening line here makes that positive call with a negative. Don't be slothful in zeal. Don't be lacking in your zeal. And I think this warning is something that we all need to hear. Now, I think all of you know what zeal is, and all of you have zeal, even if you don't think of it with that word or use that word often. I was speaking to a couple college students not too long ago, and they'd never heard the word zeal. This word is not used, apparently, very often in our language. But we all know what zeal is, and we have zeal. We get excited. We get fired up about certain things. We're passionate, enthusiastic, zealous about certain things in life. But Paul is here speaking about a specific zeal. Zeal for Christ. He's not talking about zeal for something like medium rare ribeye. Zeal for Legos, maybe if you're a little boy. Zeal for backcountry powder. Zeal for Star Wars. Zeal for 6.7 liter Cummins engines. Zeal for good coffee. These are not the things Paul has in mind. He is speaking of zeal for God. Zeal for heaven. Zeal for the truth. But this zeal is not natural to us. It's easily lacking. God knows this. God knows our sinful nature, our sinful, selfish, lazy tendency. It's often to want to coast in the Christian life, in our service to Him, to ease, to lag, to cool in our fervency and zeal for serving Him. The Lord knows that there's so much that can zap our zeal, so much that can make us reluctant, lazy, unwilling, dull, and disinterested. But according to Paul here in Romans, according to God Himself in His Word, there really should be no such thing as a Christian who is slothful in zeal, careless, nonchalant about zealously serving the Lord. And yet, because of the ongoing presence of sin in our lives, it's all too common. It's an all too common default to become slothful in zeal. It's an all too common temptation that we need to be on guard against. One writer said many churches in America today are looking less like armies engaged in war and more like lazy boy chairs from which drowsy Christians are saying, "Don't wake me up." Slothfulness in zeal, lagging in zeal, is destructive, and it's a dangerous problem, and we need to be warned about it. Proverbs 18, verse 9 says, "Whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys." Whoever lacks zeal in his service to the Lord, whoever is slack in this, is destructive. And this is an all too common, acceptable posture today, even among Christians and in the church. And friends, that should not be. God calls you to not be slothful in zeal. Now, as you think about this topic of zeal, perhaps some of you are thinking about some misplaced zeal out there. And certainly, there is plenty of misplaced, uninformed zeal in the church today. There's a lot of noise and activity. There's zeal that burns brightly for a time and gets a following and then burns out. But that doesn't mean that there is not also a great danger of being slothful in true zeal, good biblical zeal for the Lord. And I think there may be a particular danger for Christians in the West today to be slothful in zeal. We have relatively easy lives. I think all of the TFB students would remind you of that. Running water and refrigerators and roofs over our heads. We have easy, peaceful lives. We can tend to coast. Most of us enjoy health and luxury and peace. I think maybe even those with a high view of Scripture and the sovereignty of God, those who hold to Reformed theology, can also be particularly susceptible to this as well, to being slothful in zeal. Maybe this is because we can have the tendency to think we've arrived mentally, doctrinally. We know that God will save all His people and cause them to persevere. God is sovereign. Justification is by faith alone. And these truths can be used as an excuse for coasting in the Christian life, for slouching, for circling the wagons, for cooling in our zeal. Or sometimes maybe we have the tendency to overreact against legalism or antinomianism, pragmatic Christianity, guilt-based piety and motivation. And we can use that as an excuse to sit back and coast and take our foot off the gas, to become slothful in zeal. We talk a lot about glorifying God, right worship, right doctrine. We talk a lot about grace, but are we truly zealous for the God of grace? The God that we worship and we study? We can have the tendency to be very cerebral Christians, rightly emphasizing the mind, but sometimes to the neglect of zeal in the heart, zeal in the hands in our service to the Lord. The fact is, this is really a temptation for all Christians at all times. But there's really no first-class tickets. There's no first-class seats in the Christian life where we're able to just sit back and let others go by, let others do the work, let others be zealous for the Lord. God says, no, don't do that. Do not be slothful in zeal. But the Lord also warns us in his word about zeal that is not really true zeal for him. And God is not calling you here to ungodly or selfish, misplaced zeal. And so we also need to be warned, second, this morning, to do not practice false zeal. God is not calling you to practice false zeal, and you need to be warned against practicing false zeal. God is encouraging true zeal, not false zeal. But we need to know that there's such a thing as false zeal. We need to be able to recognize counterfeit zeal. Paul warned about one type of false zeal just a couple chapters earlier. Look at Romans 10, the first three verses. Paul speaks of this, of the Jews, his brothers here, and he says they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And what Paul is saying there is that the Jews, they are zealous. They're zealous for the Old Testament scriptures. They're zealous for obedience to God, but their zeal is false. Why? Why was that zeal false? Because it was not according to knowledge. They didn't really know the true God. They didn't know his plan of salvation. They didn't understand the righteousness that he had given to them through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And so all their religious zeal, which was real zeal, it was all misplaced. It was false. It was useless because they can't really know or serve or be righteous before God just by their zeal, no matter how fervent and well-meaning it was. It was not based on knowledge. It didn't square with reality. To be zealous servants of the Lord, we must know him and his ways. Our zeal must be based on knowledge. He gives that in his word. There are plenty of zealous churches and preachers out there who really do not know and do not teach the Word of God, and yet people flock to them. It's zeal without knowledge. One example I thought of zeal without knowledge is I've seen many a young person, maybe on a service project, zealous to help out in painting, for example. They have true zeal, but they simply don't know how. They don't have knowledge of painting. Their zeal for painting is not coupled with a knowledge and understanding of the materials and the tools. And so their zeal is commendable, but it can actually do more harm and cause more work because it's zeal without knowledge. Our zeal must be based on knowledge, based on the Word of God, the truth of God. And so God calls you not to a mindless fervor, mindless activity, service, just being busy. He calls you to be zealous students, to have passion and zeal based on his truth, and informed zeal because you know God, you know his plan, his ways, his wisdom. Paul himself admitted several times to once having zeal in his life that was not based on knowledge. Paul once had a false zeal. In Galatians 1:14, he says he was extremely zealous for the traditions of his fathers. But that zeal was a false zeal. It was channeled into persecuting the church, imprisoning, killing Christians. His zeal was real. He tells us that. It was intense. It was unmatched. And yet it was entirely wrong. It was false. And there's plenty of that kind of zeal out there today. Think about Mormons zealously going door to door again and again. Muslims, their zeal for practicing wickedness, attacking infidels, spreading falsehood. Buddhists repeating mindless, countless prayers. Catholics doing penance and Hail Marys. Those who tirelessly defend and zealously defend the slaughter of the unborn. and on and on. And there are even well-meaning Christians that have false zeal. There's no doubt that this is zeal, but it's false. It's not based on the knowledge of the truth. But more subtly, there's a false zeal that's surface level. It wears a Christian cloak, but it's just for show. It's just for the praise of men. It's just to make you feel good. And the Pharisees in particular practiced this. They were zealous on the outside for the Lord and for his ways, but it was practiced before men to receive praise. And Jesus said they were whitewashed tombs. And we can be guilty of the same false surface level zeal, creating the appearance of zeal for the praise of men. Maybe you've seen that guy in the weight room who struts around and makes a lot of noise. He's got his little protein drink. He goes from station to station, but his form is all wrong. He never breaks a sweat. It's all just for show, to feel good about himself, to make others think highly of him. Friends, God sees our hearts. He sees right through fake and false zeal. And you are not called to practice that. Do not practice such zeal. Zeal not based on knowledge, not in service to the Lord. What's verse 11 say? Look at that again. It says, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Really, any type of zeal not for the Lord, not in service to him and in his truth and out of love for him is false. Paul said to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13, you could be the most active, powerful, effective, sacrificial person, and if you have no love for the Lord, if you have no real, true zeal for him, you have nothing. You are just a noisy gong. And all that is meaningless. So we need to be aware of false zeal. Don't be attracted to it. Don't get sucked into it yourself. And that leads us to consider third this morning. What can cause this slothfulness and zeal? And how do we avoid it? And so let's consider third this morning. Do not encourage slothfulness and zeal. Do not can encourage slothfulness and zeal in your life. How can we become slothful in zeal? And how can we avoid that? We need to understand again, zeal is not natural to us. It's not automatic. It needs fuel. And because of sin and temptation, zeal can easily flicker and die down. We lose fuel, lose steam for a lot of reasons. And I just want to highlight a few ways that can happen. This is not every way in which this can happen, just a few ways to consider this morning. The first way to encourage slothfulness and zeal is to distance yourselves from God. When you distance yourself from God, your zeal will wane. God is both the object and the source of your zeal. He empowers it and he inflames it. And when you take your eyes off of him, when you distance yourself from him and his means of grace, zeal wanes. And this can happen when you stop listening to him, stop hearing his word, stop reading it, stop hungering for it, stop studying and not hearing it preached and taught. It happens when he stops hearing from you, when you speak to him less in prayer, when prayer is not a priority. Zeal wanes when you stop being in his presence in worship. Or maybe you're there, but you're tired. You're distracted. You're disengaged. Think about how in a friendship or a marriage, if you distance yourself from a person, if you stop spending time with them, stop talking to them and hearing from them and getting to know them, that relationship cools. There's a distance that's created. Or think about if you stop practicing your putt or your free throw, you'll regress. This is why God says, don't do that. Seek me and you will find me. Draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Distancing yourself from the Lord, from his means of growth and grace for your life, will cause your zeal to wane. It will cause slothfulness and zeal. Think about a person who stops eating. They will begin to weaken. They'll become malnourished. Their body will compensate by taking calories and nutrients from elsewhere, and that's dangerous. We on the TFB might refer to that as bonking, right? Well, that happens when you stop eating. Friends, stop feeding. When you stop feeding on the Word of God, when you distance yourself from God, when you stop feeding on Him and His Word by faith, this will happen. Another way you can cause your zeal to dampen and to cool is by distancing yourself from God's people. Hebrews 10, verse 24 says, don't do that. Don't give up meeting together. Be together. Stir each other up. Encourage one another. We need each other in this to maintain and inflame zeal. You need fellowship. You need accountability, oversight. You need examples. You yourself need to be loving and serving others. You need to be committed to each other, worshiping with and fellowshipping with the church. And when that's not a priority, when that's not a practice, your zeal will cool. When you keep your brothers and sisters at arm's length, your zeal will cool. You've all heard the example, probably, of a coal plucked from the fire. And when it's no longer surrounded by other coals, it quickly cools and darkens. When it's among the others, it glows red hot. Well, zeal is similar. Zeal is contagious. And you need the people of God around you to fuel zeal. In 2 Corinthians 9, Paul said that the Corinthian Christians' zeal, their zeal had stirred others up. It's been said that you are what you read and who you spend time with. You are what you read and who you spend time with. Those exponentially shape and change you, and there's a lot of truth to that. Are you reading and hearing God's word? Are you spending time with God's people? That will shape you in a good way. That will encourage zeal. But if not, don't be surprised that your zeal slips and cools. Do not encourage slothfulness and zeal by distancing yourself from the Lord or His people. Another way to cool zeal for the Lord is by your zeal for this world. When you have too much zeal for this world, it's not that you can't enjoy things and be zealous for other things. It's not that you can't enjoy a good steak, ice fishing, quilting, climbing mountains. Name your hobby. Name the thing that you're zealous about. It's not that you can't be zealous employees or students. But these things can easily consume your time and your attention and your heart and redirect your zeal, cause your zeal for heaven and for the Lord, for the glory of God to wane. And these things need to be in the right place in your heart and your life. Another thing that also kills zeal is sin. Sin encourages slothfulness and zeal. Unrepentant sin in your lives, in your heart, secret besetting sins in any form will cool zeal. Remember David in Psalm 51 said when he had unrepentant, unconfessed sin, that his bones wasted away, that his energy, his spiritual vitality, his zeal was sapped. Sin kills zeal. And then finally, there can be more physical causes of slothfulness and zeal. If you're always stressed and overworked, if you're not getting enough sleep and the right nutrition, if you're not taking care of your bodies, the temple of the Holy Spirit, that will have an effect on your souls. It'll zap your spiritual energy and your zeal. And so to maintain this zeal over the long haul and throughout your Christian life, to not burn out, you need to have a balanced, steady approach to all of life being whole people, body and soul. Be good stewards of the bodies God has given you as well as your souls. If you're always exhausted and stressed, it's hard to be zealous about anything. And so this too can cause zeal to wane. Well, those are just a few ways you can throw water on the fire of zeal. Some ways you can encourage slothfulness in a negative way, slothfulness and zeal. And we need to be aware of these and avoid them. You need to be willing to let others notice these things in your lives and point them out to you at times. When your zeal cools, it is not good for you. It's not good for your growth in godliness, your service to the Lord. It's not good for your joy in the Lord. Zeal and joy really go hand in hand. It's not good for the church as a whole, for the kingdom of God, for your friends and family. When zeal cools, it's also a bad witness as well. Think about, what does a lack of zeal communicate to the world about your God, about the gospel? What does it say about the church? Is it a dull and stagnant place? What does it say about the Word of God? Maybe it's not so living and powerful and active. What does it say about you? Do you really have a new heart? A dynamic living union with the real God? Friends, guard against these extinguishers of zeal for all those reasons. That leads us then in conclusion this morning to begin to consider true zeal, the true zeal that you are called to. We've thought about some warnings, but let's begin, and we'll continue tonight. Let's begin to consider the true zeal that you are called to. God says to each of you, do be fervent in spirit. Listen again to what he says in verse 11. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Being fervent in spirit is really the opposite of being slothful in zeal. It's being full of zeal. And I wish we had the whole morning to talk about this word fervent. It literally means to boil or to burn. I used to get annoyed when people would say, well, so-and-so is on fire for the Lord. But in a way, that's actually a biblical concept. That's the meaning behind this word fervent. It's to be hot. It's to glow, to bubble over. And we're called here to be fervent in spirit. And I think that is primarily a reference to our spirit, our heart, our soul, the inner man. And we'll talk tonight that zeal and fervor is really a fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. But it's a fruit that manifests itself in our spirit, in our lives, in our souls, the core of our being. Having a warmth, a passion, a steam, an energy for the Lord. And Paul writes literally in the Greek, in spirit, being fervent. And the word for fervent, for those of you who are zealous grammar students, the word fervent is a present active participle, which means this is to be an ongoing, present, active state of heart and soul, state of minds. Picture a pot on the stove simmering at a slow, steady boil. That's what we tried to make our soup on the TFB trip. This simmering, ongoing, bubbling, boiling state. As Christians, you are called to have a warm, burning energy for the Lord, a heat, a glow. It's not a personality trait. It's not that you're bubbly people. It's that you're to have an intense energy below the surface that is of the Lord and for the Lord. It's an inner quality worked in you by the grace of God. Yes, it shows, it acts, it serves outwardly, but it's an inner warmth and strength and energy that comes from being in contact with the living God. It flows from living for Him and in Him and through Him and to Him. And sometimes some of the most zealous and fervent people are the oldest or the slowest, the calmest, the quietest people. Do be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. And as we close this morning, I want to ask, do you find that heat, that fervor in your own spirit, in your soul? Do you find that in your own life this morning, or have you cooled? Has the pot been taken off the burner, so to speak? Or maybe do you not know how to have such fervor? Are you hindering it in some way? Do you not really know the Lord? Trust the Lord? Are you not really living in union with Christ? Friends, you can't conjure up this zeal on your own. You can't light this fire without the spark of grace, without the gospel of grace in your life, without having new life through Christ, being united to Him, without the Holy Spirit at work within you. Maybe this morning you find yourself lacking in zeal and fervor. You find yourself cool for the Lord and His ways. If that's the case, and I think all of us will find ourselves in that situation more often than we should, but if that is the case, ask the Lord for mercy. Ask for His grace to inflame you with love and fervor for Him. Warm yourself at the fire of His Word and in His worship with His people. Go to the cross and see there the zeal of your Savior for you. Or maybe this morning you have no idea what we're really even talking about. And you know that you don't have this zeal. But maybe this morning you want it. You want to understand it. You want to have it. And yet so far zeal for this world has left you cold and empty. If that's the case, then come to the Lord. Repent of your sin. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. You will be given a new heart, and you can and you will have a new, powerful, real zeal for Him and for life that far surpasses any other zeal you've ever known. Tonight, we're going to talk a little bit more about how we get this zeal, how we grow in it, how we practice it, and really what its purpose is. But as we close this morning, I want us to hear the words of Christ to the church in Revelation 3, verse 15 and following. I'm just going to read it, and I want you to listen to what Christ has to say to the church there in Revelation 3, especially thinking about zeal. Christ says, "I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you are either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, 'I am rich, I've prospered, I need nothing,' not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous. Be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I'll grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear." Brothers and sisters, hear the call of Christ. Hear the call of God to each one of you this morning. No matter where you're at this morning, no matter your past or your present, do not be lukewarm. Do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Be zealous and repent. Hear his knock. Believe in him. Repent. Be zealous. Live by and for and in him. Brothers and sisters, do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we confess this morning that we are often slothful in zeal, and we have been corrected and rebuked, some of us, I trust, this morning. And yet, Lord, we look to the cross, we look to the zeal of Christ for sinners. And Lord, our hearts are inflamed again with zeal for you because of your zeal for us. And Lord, we confess our lack of zeal, our zeal for the world that often rises above our zeal for you, our zeal for our own glory rather than yours. And we pray, Lord, that you would enable us to hear these warnings this morning. We pray that you would enable us to walk in repentance, to hear your voice and respond with faith. We pray that you would kindle the fire of zeal in our hearts by your Holy Spirit and by your word, and that we might be your people, zealous for good works, zealous for your glory, for serving you. Forgive us for our sins. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, for it's in his name we pray. Amen.